So I'm going to talk about today on a wonderful topic. It's called awareness of death. In other words, how to live our life with dignity. How to die with dignity. So, this is not the topic I chose. It's one of the members of Boast Society of Victoria who asked me to talk about this topic. I knew if I'm the one to choose this topic, I won't be popular in Melbourne or in general, in the West. So that's not my favorite topic to talk about, but I like to practice this topic, awareness of death. So now we'll go systematically using the Buddhist approach, Buddha's teaching. This is how we taught suffering, cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, nirvana, and the cause and the path to nirvana. So I'm just going to use the same thing. I'm going to talk about death, the cause of death, deathless, and the way to deathless. That's what we are going to follow. I might talk so many things, but this is the principle we are going to follow. Now we start with death. We'll just get into the definition from Buddhist book. It's called Abhidhamma Sangaha. It's actually a comprehensive manual on Abhidhamma. And this is what we are going to use some of the time. This is the definition there. According to Abhidhamma, death is formally defined as the cutting off of the five life faculty. Jivindriya, included within limits of a single existence. That's the definition, in case you're wondering what death is. So this is the definition. Now, the word death is a little bit scary. It looks like a noun, but for me, I just see it as a verb, as a process. Actually, since in Buddhism we talk about rebirth, we talk about re-becoming, we might as well talk about re-death. Because if we talk about death, that means one-way ticket. But if we talk about re-death, that means we are dying again and again, isn't it? According to science, they say that every 7 years, all cells are completely dead. Another scientific study is every 10 years. Every 10 years, all the cells gone. We are made of cells, isn't it? That's our building bricks, cells. It makes sense. Now I'm 48, I've died 4 times. Isn't it? 4 times. So, if there's anybody here who is beyond 11 years, you have died once in this lifetime. Isn't it? Every day, billions of cells are dying. Every day, cells are dying and new ones are born. Now, this is very, very important to remember. That actually, death and life coexist. We cannot separate it. I will tell you 2 things that are dead already on our body. Can you guess? Who can guess? 2 things are already dead. We are never carrying it. Pema Atea. The hair. If you cut the hair, it's not painful. Is it? But it doesn't mean you don't care, or don't take care of it, especially females, please don't get it. you have to take your hair. Your hair, you take care of it, you comb it and all that. But hair doesn't have consciousness. Did you know that? It doesn't have consciousness. You can cut the way you like. This morning, that's what I did. You cut here, you keep on cutting. It's no problem. It actually doesn't have consciousness. Another thing, who can guess? Nails. You cut, you keep on clipping and cut. If there's anything that's alive, it will happen. Then you cut a live nail, this part is very, very, very painful. So that means all the time we're cutting dead things. I'm not saying don't cut your nails. Trim them, go to the salon, make your hair. No problem. What I'm telling you, that death and life coexist. Right? It's not separate. It's like waves of an ocean. Reflections. I want to make some few reflections here. Most people afraid of death, I think, you believe it's one time thing. That's why. But if we know that we've been dying many times, especially those who study Buddhism, and I've read the sutta, the Anamataka Sutta, where the Buddha said that if we are to hit all the bones in your past life, they will be greater than Mount Himalayas. Can you imagine? All the bones, if we are to heap them together. I don't know whether you have seen Himalayas. It's not like Dunham Hills, my friend. How many times we have died? We just forgotten. It's like the meals. The meal we eat, we have forgotten what we ate 2 years ago. I don't remember the meal you gave me last time. I have no clue. Did you give me the meal? Yes. Do I remember? No. So the same thing, we died many, many times, but we don't remember. We don't remember. Not remembering that we died long, many lives, doesn't mean we don't die or we shouldn't actually even live in self-denial that death is just going to happen to us. That's what most people think. Most people think that other people are dying, and I'm not going to die. Other people are dying. Death is happening all the time, but I'm not going to die. That's another reflection I want to think. I need to think about. Sometimes when I travel, I just reflect. All other people actually are dying and are born at the same time. Imagine as we are speaking, babies are coming and people are dying. Just like this. 1 second. That's what's going on all the time. But when we are so lost in our technological wonders, we forget that fact. So the key is actually to practice mindfulness practice. And then we bring it to bear, and we remember it all the time, reflecting on it. This is not to make us morbid, and then we live a life which is gloomy because death is going to happen. Actually, it's the opposite. When we reflect on death, we become stronger. We become like tenaciously alive because it's happening all the time. Okay, let's go to the three kinds of death. Three kinds of death. One is called moment-to-moment death. Moment-to-moment death. Every moment we are dying. Leave alone the physical cells. Let's go to the final aggregates. We are made of form, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness, all things. We are made of that. Whatever you call yourself, is five things. Five aggregates of clinging to them. Right? Now, let's go to the feelings. Do you feel the same way as you felt 2 years ago or yesterday? Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral feelings? Are they the same? That means, okay, yesterday you were very pleasant. Are you sustaining the same pleasant feeling now? Okay, unpleasant. Maybe yesterday you were unpleasant because it's cold and all this raining all the time. You cannot go to the beach and all that. So it's unpleasant. Is it the same unpleasant experience? Where is it? Dead, kaput. Perception. Now, One moment we perceive one thing, another one we perceive another.
Really?
You know, some of you have never seen an African monk. Now he's here. Now, perception is gone. In Uganda, when people perceive me, they think that actually I'm a Maasai, a tribe which is in Kenya, that get married, has so many wives, all living together. So people think I'm a Maasai. Wrong perception. Only to find that I'm a monk, this perception is dead. In fact, some of them give me their identity cards. They say, Oro, Oro. They greet me. I can't understand what they're saying. So what are you saying? Oro, Oro, Oro means how are you? And then when I don't reply them, they bring their cards. You know, I'm your fellow Maasai, please. Don't ignore me. That's I'm not a Maasai. Perception. I tell them I'm a Buddhist monk and I'm from Uganda. And they say, oh yeah, we even don't have the same nationality. I'm from Kenya. So perception keep on dying. Mental formations, emotions. Today we have joy, gladness. Another time there's fear. Another time there's sadness. It keeps on changing all the time. It keeps on changing even more than the body. There's a saying that you cannot step in a river at the same time. They said you cannot touch the body the next moment, because if you touch the body like this, another cell change. By the time you touch it again, it's different body. You may not have a different wife. It's the same but different, because cells changing all the time. Now even the mind changing all the time, you know. And of course consciousness changing, awareness changing all the time. Now, here's let us start with a myth. Myth, first myth, death is the end of life. Do you believe it? Do you think death is the end of life? Who believes that death is the end of life? Death is the beginning of life, actually. Especially when you have not attained final enlightenment, death is a beginning of life. So, next time when there's death, just think about, oh, there's a new beginning of life. Yeah, look at the seed. When you put a seed in the soil, it rots. Have you seen seeds? When you plant them and you put them in the soil, what do? They die. And then all of a sudden, there's a sprout, a new one, beautiful one. We human beings are always the same. New one comes. Better. Excellent. Faster. Beautiful. So we should not actually look at death as a grooming, in a grooming way. That's why I told you last time, from death is upgrading existence. Don't worry if you think that you're going to downgrade. Just think in a positive way that you're going to upgrade your software. Visitor, is very difficult to work with. But now when you die, you get upgradation, you're upgrading, you get a new software, which is user-friendly. Maybe next life you'll be user-friendly. The Buddha gave this kind of discourse, which is very interesting. If you want to meet your next wife, next husband, practice together faith, generosity, learning, I think, and wisdom and all that things. You know that sutta, I think, is in Anguttara Nikaya, where the Buddha talks about if you want to meet your husband, let's say you're married now and you want to meet next life, your husband, or wife. So just practice together faith. Practice generosity together. Don't leave them home. Come, we offer something together. Then there's chances of meeting together. So what the Buddha, I think, also thought of upgrading. You upgrade existence. Can you imagine if you meet your next husband or wife? It'll be great, actually. How do you feel when you meet each other after a long time? I met some people from, last time I was here, 2011, I met some at the airport in Salonga. And actually I went to their home and I do not remember these names, Dunishu, Dunashu, or they made a confusing names, many, very difficult to remember. But the first I don't forget. I can forget Dinishu, Diremu, all the things. For me, it's very difficult to remember all those names, but first, I really remember it. So when you meet a person you've met before, you feel so happy. So when somebody dies, say, oh, I'll meet you after a few years. We are on the same path. We are on the same journey. Is that it? You know that there are people dying, they're going this direction and we're going this way. No, we are in the same direction. So if you have ever had a death in your family, just remember, oh, I'll meet you after 50 years. I'll meet you after 100 years. For me, I met somebody here after 15 years. No address, nothing. I'll meet them. I'll become friends again. So if we can meet here when you are still alive after 15 years or something, that's all we'll meet. Don't just think that, oh, I'll never meet you again, you're gone, you're kaput. No. We are going to meet. We are going to meet. What I found out, this is what I found out. When you practice Dharma, you keep on meeting people on the Dharma trail. It's amazing. There's so many people in Australia who are Ugandans, I haven't met them. Can you imagine that many Ugandans in Australia? I stay here 3 months, I don't meet them. We're not on the same Dharma trail. I just met only one actually who came here one time. He's a very successful man, very genius. And he has his company here. He came here actually, stealing in Tabas or something like that. So, but I meet you why? Because we are practicing Dharma. Why do I meet you? Because we are practicing Dharma together. I go to Sydney, I meet people who practice the Dharma. There's a guy from Sri Lanka, I meet him, there's a monk from Sri Lanka, we met in Japan, I go to New Zealand, I meet him. Not other people like other people, I don't know. Like, they might be from the same country like you got, but I don't meet them. So if you've lived with somebody, either he's given birth to you, or you have given birth to them, you practice the Dharma together, why are you not going to meet? You are going to meet. But I think most people lose that point, and then they feel sadness and grief and all that. Do you feel grief if I say see you later? Happy birthday. Okay, see you next week. Do you feel grief? No, you're going to see me. So if somebody dies in your family and says see you later, that's it. Yes. Out of sight does not mean out of mind. Is that it? Out of sight does not mean out of mind. Now, there's another myth here. Death is a punishment. Who thinks that death is a punishment? Death is not a punishment. It's a natural process. It's a natural process. Where I come from, I was born as a Catholic. In Uganda, there are announcements every day for people who have died. Not people who are born, which is strange. They should also announce people who are born, to be fair. Really? So they announce when you listen on the radio at around, I hated this when I was still young. When I was a kid, oh, my grandma, listen, people are dying. No, that's not your business. So whenever there is an announcement for people who have died that day, I will just go play tennis or something, play football. So in Uganda, there's this announcement, which is very strange. I've never seen any country does that, announcing all people have died in the country when they're going to be born, buried and all that. So they say, oh, thank God he has taken this person. That's what they believe most people in where I come from, that God has chosen them. Now God is choosing who are going today and who are going to stay alive. Imagine, death is not a punishment, it's the way how things are. Actually, it's very interesting. Cells in our body, they have to go through life. And then some of them die. If they don't die and they keep on proliferating, what will happen? Who knows what happens?
Cancer.
So thank God to death we're alive. Thank God to death. If we're not dead, we won't be alive. Don't condemn death, actually. Death is necessary. If we don't have cells dying and they keep on multiplying, we are in trouble. I saw a video clip of a baby who was born in Maryland, in USA, and up to 9 months, never grew until 20. Never changed. So they had a teenager who is like an equivalent of 9 months. So growth also is very important. And death, in quotes, is a culmination of growth. We are, they're right. Fruits do that. Mangoes, well, they have to grow up and then they get ripe and they drop and new ones come. It's a cycle of life. It's not a punishment. It's not even a reward. So I think that, okay, here's also a paradox. Apart from myth, we have also a paradox. Many, many people want to go to heaven and nobody wants to die. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many people want to go to heaven and nobody want to die? And many people, especially Buddhists, they say, may you attain final nibbana. But when it comes to death, it's a rule. How are you going to go to attain final nibbana with your Mercedes Benz, with your wife, with your house? No. Is that not the final goal of Buddhism? Nibbana? So there must be, to attain Nibbana, there must be actually some stages that you have to go through, you know. Final Nibbana, we're talking about final Nibbana. In Buddhism, actually, you can attain Nibbana without being dead, actually. Without dying, you can attain enlightenment, first level, second level, third level, and all that. So this is a very, very important reflection. Okay, let's go to causes of death. Causes of death, actually, let's go to the role of the awareness of death. It's now this given in Visuddhimagga, and I'm going to tell you why it's very important to cultivate awareness of death. This is something that's very interesting because most people maybe have never practiced awareness of death. They practice mindfulness of breathing in and out, but they never practice awareness of death. But it's very important. This is what's given there. When you practice awareness of death, you live a mindful life, right? Because every moment, you are aware of it. And you are going to do that, actually. You are going to have a chance to practice mindfulness of death before I end my talk. So, the second benefit is that you are able to let go of your attachment, right? We are attached to our health and wealth and status and youth and all these things. So, it helps us to lose the attachment. And you know, attachment is the cause of suffering. So the third, we don't cling on to life desperately at the moment of death. Because most of people actually find it difficult to let go at the moment of death. And there are two sisters fighting in Brazil. I was recently in Brazil, and there's a story a friend told me that two sisters were fighting over the death of their mother who was 8 years. And one sister said, "Don't go. Stay, mom. Moms don't die." Can you imagine telling somebody don't die? Especially when they're 80. "Don't, please, do me a favor." And the other sister said, "No, mother, you have done a good thing. It's time to go." So now, the nurses are going to witness something they have never seen in a hospital. Rage. Talk about road rage. This death rage. "Sister, why do you not want to let my mother go?" They say, "Why? She's done everything. She's going to die peacefully." So this is something that you have to know, that if somebody is calm and peaceful, and it's very important from a Buddhist point of view to die peacefully. Because if you die peacefully, then when you upgrade, it's very easy. The transition is very easy. But if you die while fighting, then maybe the initial stage is you are not also grooming. Yeah? But die peacefully. That's a very good benefit of practicing awareness of death. Another one is those who practice awareness of death, they won't be greedy with material things at the time of death, because most of the time they are afraid of leaving their Rolls Royce, their property and all that. So there's a sense of struggle at that time. So then number six, they will be under somebody who practices awareness of death, they will understand the ultimate truth of life, that everything is impermanent. If you are fighting death and good luck, that means you are fighting reality, that things should be permanent. Burihandro, he lived 80
years.
Then, why didn't he say, okay, let me live forever? That will defeat the nature, the way how things are. He didn't want to defeat the way how things are. The Buddha said, taught the way how things are. Death is part of how things are. It's impermanent. Everything is impermanent. It's in conflict flux. Okay, another benefit, of course, not being afraid of death, and then you die peacefully, and then you have a solid foundation of actually meditation and reaching higher levels of meditation. And after death, if you don't, you're not reborn as a human being, you actually, if you don't attain a final goal of maybe even if you don't really practice and attain enlightenment, at least you have a consolation prize. You will be born as a heavenly being. And also, if not, you will be born as a happy being, not as somebody who's uptight. Right? So these are very, 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 very good benefits. Now, let's go to kinds of death. If you remember the can light, the light, a lamp that comes from a car, let's say a lamp which has oil and the wick, this is how we classify four kinds of death. Right? So now, this light like this can be burning because of oil. And then there's also wick. So the way how this book, Abhidhamma, classifies this kind of death is very, very interesting and a very beautiful analogy. The first one is expiration of reproductive karma. Last time we talked about karma, so that's the karmic force which gives a rise to birth. It's called reproductive karma. It gives rise to birth. If that expires, then we know that it's like the wick, it's a burning. Huh? You see, a wick, maybe it's like a 5 centimeter, let's say 10 centimeter. It can burn all the way down. And that means it's complete. That's the first classification of death. The second one is actually expiration of lifetime, let's say age limit. That's a natural death of all age. Let's say in this existence, maybe we die at 100 years. If you die at 100 years, that means you have expired your life. You have lived completely. Right? And nobody, no need to worry about this, because you have completed the whole cycle. 100 years, people still say, no, please live for 200. No! It's like this burn candle and say, no, don't stop fire. No, but it's gone, that you just say, it's unrealistic, really. Yeah, we have to accept these things. If we know these four kinds of death, then we know actually what's the death about. So now, the third classification of death is a combination. A combination of the combination of the expiration of reproductive karma force and also the expiration of lifetime. That's a combination of the life. The fourth one is untimely death, kala, marana. This is death due to the intervention of destructive karma. Destructive karma. It's like accident, death, aeroplane crash. So, in other words, this is like this. Like that. And then if this goes, that's also death, the fourth kind of death. Now, well, it's very, very important. Death in any form is not an accident. Even this one, though there is that kind of airplane crash or whatever, death, it shouldn't be seen as a mistake, right? It's how things are. You are the one who collected the karma. you remember last time we talked about? Don't blame people if they die in an airplane. They say, why did you take Emirates? You would have taken Qantas. This is your problem. I told you, darling. Just take Sri Lankan Airways. Don't blame people. So, whether any kind of goes for death, please don't view them as an accident. But it's very interesting to know those four kind of classification of death. Now we go to one side, deathless. We've seen but before even we go to that, what's the cause of death? Doctors up to now, very busy trying to find out the cause of death. You know? Doctors, autopsy and all these things, they don't know. They get degrees from Australian University, USA, England. They don't know the cause of death. Buddha told us the cause of death is birth. Can you imagine? What's the cause of death? Birth. If you're not born, you don't do what?
Die.
Yes, that's the primary cause. Now, of course, there are secondary causes, somebody doing this and all that. But really, from a Buddhist point of view, the cause of death is birth. Now we have seen death and the cause of birth. We got deathless. What's deathless? Deathless is called Nibbana. Right? And Nibbana is, of course, says, I want to give you some ideas of Nibbana that are very important to know. Is like psychologically is the end of suffering and the attaining of happiness, ultimate happiness. Ethically, it's actually the end of greed, hatred, and delusion. Right? When you end greed, hatred, and delusion, you attain peace and happiness. And then metaphorically speaking, is actually the end of the cycle of birth and death. The end of the cycle of birth and death. That's what we call samsara. Sarati. Not your name. Sarati is a Pali name. It means wandering. Sarati, not Sarati. wandering, aimless. And this kind of sam, the word Pali word sam, it means not simple wandering. It's really here and there, aimlessly, wandering here and there. So, birth, death, followed by birth. Birth followed by death. So this is what we do all the time. That's why our bones, if you hit them, they are like more than Himalayas. Actually, that's a scary thing. You know, when I had these things, I said I should become a monk, actually. You know what happened? You know why? When I heard about these things, I was a lot of ambitions. I want to become a course director. I want to become a chartered accountant. When I heard that actually all our bones are more than Himalayan. And that means I've been a wife, I've been a husband, I've been a lawyer, I've been an accountant, I've been a king, I've been the Prime Minister of Australia. Why bother? Really, actually, I meditated for 3 months. After 3 months of meditation, when I meditated, and I had this teaching, I was so surprised that we've been here so many times and we've died many times. One thing I've not been. I've been everything. I've been a Chinese, I've been an Australian, I've been an English, I've been an Indian. One thing I've never been, and it is that Nibbana. I've never attained Nibbana. All the time I was attaining bananas only. That's why you're gonna eat a lot of bananas. When they talk about meditation, no. No. Now, I said, how can I attain Nibbana, the deadness? I said, let me find out a profession, a very good profession that can maximize that. But of course, you don't have to become a monk to do that, but you can do it any time. But for me, I thought, this is a very good profession, that it can help me to reach deadness. So deadless, It's very, very important. So that's Nibbana. This talk is not about Nibbana, but I just want to give you an idea about there's also moment to moment. Moment to moment. It's called Datta Tadanga Nibbuto. That means moment to moment release. So every moment, actually, if we practice mindfulness, we can let go. A little bit of letting go of greed, hatred, and delusion, we feel a little bit of peace. Right? That shows what will happen if we completely let go. That was called deathless. You know also what's Nibbana, of course, but I want to draw you to some beautiful phrase from the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada phrase number 21 reveals a lot, living 2023. The Buddha said, mindfulness is the way to the deathless, Nibbana. Unmindfulness is the way to death. Pond a little bit. Unmindfulness is the way to death. Don't worry, you're all meditating. You're not on your way to death. You are on your way to deathless, right? So, those who are mindful do not die. So, if you don't want to die, do what? Meditate. And attend Nibbana. Those who are not mindfulness are as if already dead. Anybody who's meditating and who's not meditating, you should read this verse. It's very, very powerful. Now, fully comprehending this, the wise who are mindful rejoice in being mindful and find light in the domain of the noble ones. That means the first stage of enlightenment. So now, really, when we practice the four foundation of mindfulness, four foundation of mindfulness leads to the deathlessness. The Buddha gave maximum 7 years. Then, to attain Nibbana, how many years? What's the guarantee the Buddha gave?
Seven
years maximum. If you don't want to die, practice the four foundation of mindfulness. And it's a course given in many places. Even here, there's a discussion about it. And learn how to practice mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness, and then you are not going to die in case you're afraid of death. Now, this is what we do actually every moment we die. All those people are meditating, actually are practicing how to die. When you breathe in, you breathe out. When you breathe in, you don't know whether you're going to breathe out. To breathe out. Actually, it happened to me as a scuba diving instructor when I was diving in Thailand. One time I took a tank and the gauge wasn't breathing, the scuba tank which has air. It wasn't breathing correctly. So all the time I thought I have air under 10 meters. I was in 10 meters at night dive. And then I looked at the gauge. It was short, there's air. So when I kept on diving, no air. Underwater, there's no air unless you have the tank. I'm telling you, it's a bad feeling. You don't have that feeling. That was my first taste of death. Actually, death, what's going to happen during death is very simple. You breathe in, then there's no more breath. There's no more. Finish. Done. Kaput. Either to be in breath or out breath, so there's no need to fear. So what we do in meditation, that's what we are doing all the time. That's why mindfulness of breathing in and out is a very good practice to prepare yourself for death. So that you die from moment to moment. In fact, meditators shouldn't fear death because they're dying all the time, moment to moment. Impermanence. Death is about impermanence. So every time you are breathing in and out, that means you are preparing to have courage, to have no fear of death. If you are meditating properly, in and out, breathe and all that, the Buddha even said that you know at the moment of death. So there's no need to panic. When there's an out breath, because you've been all the time paying to the breath, at the time of death, you know that it's coming. You are not going to figure the way I was diving. When I was diving, I didn't know that I'm not going to have in-breath or out-breath, whatever it was. So I was so scared. There was an attempt on my life in Uganda. I was shot at. But I'm telling you, If you know that you're 1 second or two to die, the mind goes blank. I'm telling you, I didn't read this in Tipitaka. It was in my life, I experienced it when I knew that the next 2 seconds, kaput. I'm telling you, it's another experience. Yes. So maybe the procedure, the process of dying might be painful, but the actual death is in breath, not at breath. Or the other way around. Or in the middle. Whatever it is. So when you practice mindfulness of breathing, you actually become more tuned with the breath. You know in and out. So that when there's no breath, no panic, you just pass away. No problem. Okay, let's go to the way to deathless, because this is very, very important. And what the Buddha talked about, what's the importance of mindfulness of death? Why do we do it? Why do we do it? It's actually for our benefit, not to make us scared, not to really make us very negative about life. When I said I'm going to talk about awareness of death, some people say, oh, I don't want to hear about death. Oh, it's not yet time to die. Can you imagine? If you think that death is what's going to come after 10 years, after 30 years, after 80 years, you're in it for disappointment. Just think that death is happening all the time. So when the other thing comes, you can embrace it. You know, we are breathing all the time. Is that it? Now, can you anticipate breathing tomorrow? When you're breathing, okay, tomorrow, this year, when you're breathing, are you really scared? Because you're breathing all the time. Isn't it? Okay, after 1 minute you're going to breathe. Are you afraid? No, you're not. Because you know that you have been doing it all the time. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? I'm breathing now. And then I tell you, okay, you know, at around 10:35, I'm going to breathe in and out. With that kind of anticipation, that I'm going to breathe in and out at 10:35, am I going to get scared when it reaches 10:35? No. Am I going to get excited? No. Because I'm doing it all the time. So if you don't want to get scared about death, just know that it's taking place all the time. This is not a new concept I'm introducing. It's what you're going through all the time. The problem, I don't know who smuggled this idea that death is just one-way ticket. It's a return ticket. It's like when I'm going to Uganda and I'm going to return to Australia, no problem. But if I tell you, you know, you people, I'm going to Uganda, I'll never come here, I'll be feeling so sad. That's why when you gave me an open invitation, I felt so good. Oh, another time to come to Buddhist Society of Victoria. More Sri Lankan food, more Aussie food. Today I saw Aussie peanuts. Actually, one monk. Still. So what does this Aussie nut mean? I said, this means Aussie. It was O and Z, yeah. And it's an Australian. When I looked at it, no, this is an Australian nut. Aussie nut. Okay, I'll come here to eat more vegnite.
Thank you.
What's that? Vegmite.
Thank you.
Oh. More of that to come. So I'm not scared. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to take Vegemite. You know, I can't pronounce that very well. Okay, they gave it to me when I was in USA recently. There were two people from Australia. They were doing a 3-month retreat, and one gave it to me. He's from Sydney. And said, yeah, take it and see if you like it. I took it. They like it. I didn't want to scare him that I don't like it. So what I do, I have research and development, like the Dhamma. With the Dhamma, I do some kind of research and development. So with the food, I do such research and development. So what I did, I mixed it with the honey. Mixed with honey. Next time he came for the interview, hey, Bante, did you like it? Yes. you like it? I told him what I did. I said, wow, that's very adventurous. When I go to Australia, I'll tell the Australians. He has never had this mixing. Anyway, what I was trying to tell you is that when you know that something is going to come again and again and you're going through it again and again, there shouldn't be fear. Try to do this and know that actually death is happening all the time. And then when the moment comes, you will be just not afraid. This is very, very important. Okay, here's the scripture backing about this, what I'm talking about. This is scripture backing. This is from Maranatha Sati, which is a discourse from Anguttara Nikaya, where the Buddha met the monks, and then different monks had the ideas how long you should practice mindfulness of death. One of them had the idea that he should practice mindfulness of death, because the Buddha said that you should practice mindfulness of death when it's developed, pursued, is of great fruit, great benefit. It plunges into the deathless, has the deathless as its final goal. This is the Buddha's instruction. Now the monk said, no, wait, I'm practicing it. I'm practicing this mindfulness of death day and night. That means 24 hours. Following the Buddha's instructions. And I can accomplish a great deal if I do that practice of mindfulness day and night. Then another one said, oh no, during daytime only day. Another one, only the duration of one meal. A meal takes 45 minutes, how long? 1 hour. Depends whether if you're talking, there's more. So anyway, 45 minutes, that's even much better. Then another one says, the fourth one said, the interval it takes to swallow 4 morsels of food. Right? 4 muscles. Then another one said that, I'm practicing mindfulness of death so that I can live at the interval of the time it takes to swallow 1 muscle. Then the sixth monk said, I'm practicing mindfulness of death to live for the interval it takes 1 in-breath, breathing out before the in-breath. The Buddha praised those last 2 monks who have practiced mindfulness for the interval it takes for the in-breath before the out-breath and the reverse. Do you see the sense of urgency? That means it should be all the time. You see how small the interval? The in-breath takes only 2 or 3 seconds. The invitation actually here is to practice mindfulness every moment. Is that it? Not 24 hours. Not just for an interval of such a long time. That means every time we practice breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Then there should be no problem. Okay, the proof of the pudding is the eating. Let us practice mindfulness of death. Don't get scared. Because the Buddha told you, The interval. In fact, the first 4 monks, those who have that interval, or up to the fourth, 4 muscles, the Buddha said they are heedless. They are heedless. he said it. Let me show you what he did. The Buddha said this is what he said. When this was said, this is what he said. When this was said, the Blessed One addressed the monks. Whoever develops mindfulness of death, thinking, I might live for a day, night, or the other one a day, another one an interval it takes to take a meal, another one the interval that it takes to swallow, having chewed up 4 muscles of food, that I might attend to the Blessed One's instruction and be accomplished in the meditation, they are said to dwell heedlessly. They develop mindfulness of death slowly for the sake of any mental defilement. They are doing it slowly. And this person, the 2 monks, they said, but whoever develops mindfulness of death, thinking, that I might live for the interval that it takes to swallow, having chewed up 1 morsel of food, for the interval that it takes to breathe out after breathing in, or the reverse, that I might attend to the blessed one's instruction, I would have accomplished a great deal. The Buddha said like this, they are said to dwell heedfully. They devote mindfulness of days acutely, in fastly, faster, for the sake of any mental famine. So you can say sense of urgency or practice mindfulness of day every day. Before you sleep, I used to do this before I sleep. Yeah, before you sleep, do it, but also every time in your life. The Buddha gives this instruction. Okay, so this is how to practice. The proof of the pudding is the eating. So you want to use these phrases. Life is impermanent. Death is certain. There is only one thing which is certain, is death. Life is uncertain. Most people think they are wrong. People think that life is certain. Do you know if you are going to take the next in-breath? Raise your hand if you know that. You have no clue. It happened to me. It happened to me during scuba diving and during my attempt on my life. I thought I'm going to breathe forever. I'm telling you, anytime things can happen, anytime wind can blow like this, and we have no control over that. So that's why it's very important to develop what you call samvega. Samvega, vega means speed, and san is rapid, it's intensification. Samvega means spiritual urgency. That means you are not going to postpone your practice. You are not going to postpone doing good things if you have what you call awareness of death. You are not going to postpone your meditation. I'll meditate until I get divorced, because I'm so busy. Take care of my wife, take care of my husband, take care of my grandchildren. I'll meditate when my grandchildren grow up and go to college. That's when I'll start meditation. No, it's not going to happen. If there's any meditation to take place, is amidst all children's in their mess, pouring things here, porridge and water over there on their bowls. Everything. If meditation is take place, it will take place amidst the mess at home. Radios, TV, children crying, yelling to each other, to their sibling and all that. Meditation should take place that time. That's when you have patience, when we have equanimity, we have compassion, we have loving kindness, we have everything. Please, friends, this is my last talk to you. Not the last one. On this visit, please don't say I can't meditate because of A, B, C. Please have awareness of them, okay? So this is how we are going to practice. We are going to repeat these phrases. I'm going to guide you through that. So sit comfortably, feel at peace. Don't worry about lunch today. Don't worry about lunch. So let us meditate for some 5 minutes. Alright? Okay, take a deep breath. Sit comfortably. Feel at ease. Feel at ease. Let go of the past and future. See yourself embracing life. Like you're embracing life. And the breath reminds you that as you breathe in, you feel the whole cells and everything replenished. As you breathe out, there's actually now the air goes out. So in fact, it's like breathing is like being born, and breathing out is dead. So it's like alive and dead, alive and dead. Life and death is actually, it's like a dance, right? And then I would like you to reflect along these lines. Life is uncertain. Just mentally repeat this. Life is uncertain. Death is certain. My life is uncertain. Death is certain. I'm of the nature of dying. I haven't gone beyond death. Then the next category of people to send to this reflection is your teacher, your friends, your relatives. My relatives, or teacher, or friend, whichever you want to reflect on, their life is uncertain, and death is certain. My teachers, or relatives, or parents, or brother, or sister, has not gone beyond death, is of nature to die. Reflect that also your relatives have life which is uncertain, and death is certain. It will occur. It's not occurring maybe now, but it will occur. So rest with that. Don't take it for granted. End time, it can happen. So from that, go to the neutral person, someone who is neither friendly or unfriendly. Let us say neutral person. It might be a person who takes garbage from the house. Their life, the neutral person, life, their life is uncertain and death is certain. They have not gone beyond death. Also, you can reflect also to your friends. My friends, my friend's life is uncertain. My friend's life is uncertain. Death is certain. My friend is also of nature to die. Then we go to a difficult person. It might be your neighbor, somebody who is difficult in your life. Also remember there, life is uncertain and death is certain. My enemy or difficult person has not begun beyond death. And finally, all beings, all life of beings is uncertain. Their life is certain. Is uncertain. Sorry. And their death is certain. So they have, all beings have not gone beyond death. And breathing in and breathe out and relax. Knowing that death is happening every time, moment to moment. Okay, may your practice of awareness of death be a cause and condition for attaining the deathless. Thank you very much for listening. Friends, this is a talk on awareness of death. And if you have any anger towards somebody, try to reflect on awareness of death. Because when people make us angry, and we get anger towards difficult people, we get so angry. But if we know that also this person is going to die, and I'm going to die, what's the point? What's the point? Actually, for me, this is what I do. If somebody make me angry, I say, oh, after 50 years, at max. After 100 years, let me live my life. You know, this is how I calculate my life. Okay, I'm 48. Let's say, I don't know how long I'm going to live, honestly. I just become like very optimistic. I say, 50 years I might live. 50 years. Then what I do, I cut that into half. That's 25. Why do I cut into half? Because most of the time I spend sleeping. That's halfway. Now, then I cut it a quarter, a little bit, because sometimes I spend a quarter being heedless. Do I teach awareness of death? And I forget myself. That's what you call heedless. Heedless. Now, I say, oh, I have 20 now. 20. I become very conservative. I have 20 years. Now I ask myself, do I want to spend my 20 years being angry at this person? At my wife? At my friend? No. I want to spend my life being happy. I want to spend my life eating king coconut, unwatura, kurumba watura, kiribati, you know, eat veggie something. I want to spend those life productively. The problem, I know why this is a problem. People think how many years to live. Think like this. If I have one day to live, what should I do? If you have a problem with your relationship, wife, teenagers, this and that, problem, husband, wife, in-laws, and all these things, so that if I have one day to live, how can I live my life? Am I going to live one day hating my wife, hating my children, hating this and that? It's useless. Spend it productively. Be mindful. I think if you have a day to live, I would live it mindfully. Loving, compassion, and all these things. This is what I used to do before I sleep. I said, if I don't wake up, my last thought is Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. If I don't wake up. So before you sleep, you can also do that. So don't be heedless. Try to practice one awareness of death. Thank you very much. I want to be mindfulness of the stomach because food is coming. Okay, thank you very much for listening. And see you next time.